Hello and welcome to the Down Under Visa Philippines to Australia podcast series. This is your host Jeff Harvey. And this time the topic is the blog article, Australian Visas from the Philippines, Hard Work, Yes Always. Okay, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be reading the article and I'm going to be elaborating on this. Now, are Australian visas from the Philippines easy? Is there such a thing as an easy visa? And does a registered migration agent take all the work off you? Can you sit back and wait for a migration agent to let you know it's ready for your signature? No, sorry, it's work, and it can be very annoying work, and you are unlikely to enjoy it. However, Down Under Visa are with you every step of the way. Yes, there's a bit of an illusion out there, probably, I think, based on what a lot of travel agents do and what a lot of employment agents do, is they tend to, I guess they have very basic requirements, and sometimes it's easy for them to have a staff member who carts the girl all over town, helping her to pick up the various documents and things that she needs and filling out forms. Fair old bit of hand-holding, but I guess this is quite different because a lot of what we need from you, well, it's really not what we're able to do for you. I'll just go on to the next section here. Can't the migration agent do all the work? Honestly, I wish we could sometimes, but we can't. Why? Well, why do we wish we could sometimes? Well, goodness me. If we were able to, well then, yes, we'd have complete control over every little thing that we did. And if it was just a matter of employing a few more staff members to do a bit of running around, well, we would do it in a heartbeat. But anyway, why can't we? Well, because, well, one, we don't know all of your personal details, so we need to collect them off you through our fairly easy ESS questionnaires. And look, they are fairly easy, they're just very detailed and they do require a fair bit of information, but keep in mind, we only ask what we need to ask. We don't sit around and think, oh, let's give them a few extra tasks to do because it's fun. No, whatever we ask of you is required if you want to get a visa. And we don't have access to your personal documents, so we can't do the gathering and sending. Just what I said before, we can't organise these things for you. So, yes, you will have some work to do, but better than trying to figure it out yourself and maybe getting it horribly wrong. I can remember a sponsor who spent 12 months living here in the Philippines with his Filipino fiancée because he understood somehow, probably from one of those awful online forums, he understood it was necessary to do that before applying for a prospective marriage visa. Wrong. And now he hated every minute of staying here. Now imagine his face when I told him it was completely unnecessary. If you want to know about Australian visas, just ask. Yes, this is one of the problems, that there is a lot of nonsense out there, a lot of bad advice, and quite frankly, the Australian Embassy website, it's not that helpful. I think most people have discovered that. There are a lot of people who are under the impression, by the way, that you have to live together for 12 months before you can apply for a visa. Now, that applies to de facto visas, but not to partner visas based on a marriage. But anyway, that's another topic. So, yes, you will have homework to do, but at least you have the comfort in knowing that you are on the right track. That's the point. You've got work to do, but at least you know exactly what it is you're supposed to be doing. We give a lot of information, a lot of guidance, and if you're not sure, you only need to ask. Now, does a migration agent mean less work for you to do? Sometimes it can, especially if you're doing things you don't need to do, like living in Manila for 12 months, or if you've been collecting documents they don't need, and which may annoy them. Yes, we do sometimes get people putting their driver's licenses and their rates notices and all sorts of weird and wonderful things, which we don't submit because we know it's just going to be annoying to the case officer who has to wade their way through it all. But if you thought it would be a lightweight application, then yes, you will probably be considerably busier than you were expecting, especially if you thought it had the idea it's just a simple visa. People often think that about tourist visas. And people make a mistake with the partner visa. They assume they can go to Australia with their lady and sometime towards the end of a 3-month stay go, oh, what do you say? We get married and we apply for a partner visa. Well, it's not that simple. There's a great deal of work involved. And you don't get a lot of choice if you make a mistake. Lightweight visa applications are the ones they dislike the most, which is why they have been demanding decision-ready applications since November 2017. Now, decision-ready, it means just that. It means ready for them to make a decision based on what you sent them. Now, they will forgive the odd missing item, especially if it's something that needs to be done a bit later, like a medical check, or some police clearances can take a while to come through. But if you leave out what they consider to be the essentials, they will refuse the application outright without a single request for further information, or an RFI as it's known within the system. So yes, if you were thinking Australian visas would be like paying the bloke to mow the lawn for you, where you don't need to do a single thing, then sorry, no. You are going to have work to do, and that's all there is about it, and you need to accept that right from the start. And by the way, you really need to make sure that your lady in the Philippines understands that too. Now, Australian visas and further requests from the migration agent. Now, can this happen? Yes, absolutely. Right at the beginning, we reserve the right to do that. We make that very clear to you that if we do need something, we're going to tell you. If it's not right, we're going to tell you. If somewhere down the track we have discover extra things that you need to do, we're going to tell you, and that's all there is about it. Just a little point here. A standard rule in shops and what have you is the customer is always right. We've all heard that. Well, we're not a visa shop, and we are consultants. So there's no polite way of putting this. When it comes to us, the customer is not always right. The customer is quite rarely right. You know who's right? Not even us. The department is the one who is right, even if they're wrong, or even if they don't seem like they're right. Because the fact is, they are the ones who make the decision. And everything we do is based around trying to make the department happy with what we present for you. That we want them to be happy with your case. If they're happy with it, they grant the visa. If they're not, they refuse it. It's as simple as that. So no, the customer is not always right. So yes, absolutely, we will ask for further things when we need them. We often find things along the way, like if your doctor examines you for one thing and finds something else. That's their obligation, and it is ours as well. This will particularly happen when you supply us with wrong documents, wrong quantity or quality of documents, or documents with errors. Now, wrong documents. Sometimes people misread what we ask for. We do our very, very best to make things clear, and we provide you with a mountain of supporting information, lots of options, lots of things you can click on. Plus, we are always available to answer questions. But sometimes what you send us is wrong, and we are duty-bound to tell you when this happens. And we will tell you, even if you get annoyed, we're going to tell you. If you say, I've spent hours, etc., etc., preparing this, if it's wrong, it's wrong. The job is to get the visa granted. So if what you send us is wrong, we will tell you. Wrong quantity. Wrong quality. Yes, this happens. It happens particularly with relationship evidence. And it can mean the difference between whether they believe your relationship is genuine or they do not. And if what you send us can't be read, in other words, something that's fuzzy and unreadable, or it's a tiny, tiny font that, you know, only anybody older than 12 couldn't read, or it has coffee stains on it, We can't submit it, and we will tell you this. Again, we are duty-bound to tell you the truth, even if what we tell you isn't all sunshine and light. It's one of those things we dread, but we have to do it. If what you send through, if we know it's going to cause a problem, we're going to tell you. We're going to tell you. We're going to push you. We're going to squeeze you for whatever we can get from you, because the end result is we have a very high success rate, and that's based on the fact that we are incredibly pedantic and we are rather pushy when we need to be. Documents with errors. Oh, this is the one that makes us shudder. And yes, look, this is a more serious matter, because it means you have inadvertently supplied them with false or bogus documents, and this can lead to a visa refusal and a 3-year ban. Will this lead to more work for you? Yes, most definitely. More work and more delay. It's the worst and ugliest and most horrible things that we find during our day. And probably, say, documents from the NSO, which means birth certificates, marriage certificates, death certificates, CENOMARS, which is a certificate of no marriage, which is basically, that's a search of the marriage registry, where they're looking to see if the applicant has been married before. From those documents, I would say 1 in 10 we receive has something wrong with it. Now, sometimes it's just a very minor typo. It's not so bad, and depending on what it is, I mean, if it's the mother of the bride's middle name, where they've, if it could be just a typewriter error, well, that's no big deal. But anything, particularly when it comes to the name of the applicant or the applicant's children, those are problems. If they're absolutely the wrong name, bigger problem. If there were things like wrong dates of birth, wrong genders, sometimes no genders at all. Sometimes it's delightful to have to tell a man, well, guess what, apparently, according to this, your wife is a man. And they say, no, I can assure you she's not. Yes, well, on paper she is, so it needs to be corrected. And that's all there is about it. Much worse things are where there's clear acts of fraud, where somebody has gone and decided to change things by registering a birth again, and then we have two birth certificates floating around in the system saying different things. That's bad news. When you have something where the parents of the child have tried to avoid the shame and embarrassment of admitting that they had a child out of wedlock, and they put down that they're married when they're not. Bad news. Finding out somebody has two marriages, that's not a good thing at all. Things like that can be absolutely disastrous. The simple ones can be fixed fairly simply. The major ones end up needing to go to court. So, yeah, they're going to take time to fix. And we will identify these things, and we will tell you, and that's all there is about it. We cannot look the other way, so don't ever expect that we can or will. Now, can Down Under Visa fix this for you? No, we can't fix these things. We're not Philippines attorneys. And even a simple matter, you need to do the legwork yourselves. You will note that our fastidiousness was most likely what identified the error in the first place, and our advice will direct you to where you can get it corrected legally, and not in a shortcut way that will destroy your application. We will tell you where you need to go, and we will stress to you the importance, the essential nature of getting the error corrected, and we will make it clear to you that it needs to be corrected legally and not fixed, which means either getting a dodgy forgery done, or getting somebody behind the counter in the NSO office or the local civil registrar to to take a nice big handout from you and produce a fake document for you. You do that and it's only going to come back and bite you in the proverbial along the way, and it's going to basically ruin your life. So we will advise you as to what you need to do, but sorry, we can't fix it. We can't recommend attorneys. You can't do anything like that. We'll just tell you exactly what you need to do, then you're going to need to do it, and that's all there is about it. Please don't shoot the messenger. We're doing our job. We didn't cause the problem in the first place, and these things do need to be corrected. So, yes, exactly. So what do you need to do? My advice is to accept that nothing of any value comes to you easily, and ask yourself how much this visa and your new life with your Filipino wife or fiancé means to you. I'm sure it means more to you than anyone could possibly know, and you will both have work ahead of you, but you won't be guessing and you won't be alone, so be prepared for some work and then get stuck into it. So yes, basically that. And any other reflection on that is that we find the things that we struggle for are the things that we value the highest. Now, you will work for this and you will struggle for this. Again, you won't be alone. You'll have the best possible guidance. You follow our advice. The likelihood of a refusal for you is very, very low. However, you are going to be in for some work, and that's all there is about it. So let's work together and look forward to the wonderful day when we're able to give you the wonderful news to say that your visa has been granted. Okay, thank you very much for that, and we'll see you next podcast.